The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. And then I would like to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And this is part of the message to this age that we now live in. So this is to us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to this portion of the service, and Lord, we just as mere mortals, we have not much to offer in ourselves, Lord, but we stand here because you have commissioned us, Lord. You've called us, and we stand in your calling, Lord, and we stand here to give honor to you and praise to you. And ask, Lord, that your program, your gospel, your sacrifice. And Lord, it would have full reign in our lives this afternoon and going forward in our lives. Lord, that we would be able to represent you properly in this dying age. Ask God that your mercy would be with us this afternoon and help us, Lord, as we speak on this vital topic. Lord, we're asking God that you would come and speak. Let every man just take a back seat. Let you be speaker and hearer. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this time. We thank you for these people, and we thank you most of all for what you have done in our lives. We give honor to you now and ask God that you have your way in this service. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many would like to please the Lord?
Amen.
You know that scripture we just read there, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. You know, to fear the Lord is not so much the fear of what he could do against you if you don't come to his side necessarily, but the fear that we have as Christians should be a reverential respect. Mm-hmm. To have enough respect for him to know that he sets in the position that he could absolutely cast us into hell, and he has the ability to set us on high in eternity, sit with him. And to know that that mighty judge that he is and all that he has behind him and all the attributes that he has, that he focused that all down into not just a mighty God that could still the storm or whatever, but a God who could come down and pay a price for you and I to make a way for us, to know that he is that one, and to know the potential was there, and to realize that he has focused it down to save you and that you might not be lost. And so that should produce in us a reverential respect.
Yes.
To reverence him and say, you know, what he says does matter.
Yes.
And we should give heed to his word. And so the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those who have a reverence and a respect for the mightiness that he is. And yet, he has a right. We all, if he just threw us all into the dust of the earth right now, we'd be deserving of it. And to know that he has done that. So we would have a fear and a respect and reverence and respect for him. But he goes on to say, he taketh pleasure in those that fear him, but in those that hope in his mercy. I ask, is there anybody in this room today that doesn't want God's mercy in your life? And I'll go on the record saying that there's no hands lifted. Sister Vicky, she was doing something different. Nobody, like the auction, you just bought it, you know. No. Nobody raised their hand. Everybody wants his mercy. And the scripture said here that the Lord takes pleasure in that. He takes pleasure in knowing that you actually recognize him to be who he is.
Yes.
And to recognize what he's extended to you, that you have a respect to him, and that you want his mercy in your life.
Amen.
He takes pleasure in that.
Yes.
I just asked you if you wanted to please the Lord.
Yeah.
So I think we could all say, we please the Lord.
Right.
Every one of us.
Yeah.
He's happy with it. I mean, you can tell by just his presence here this afternoon. He's pleased.
Amen.
And so are we, because he is.
Yes.
And so we thank the Lord for that. And then I read the scripture there in Revelations. That part of the message to you and I. That he stands at the door and knocks. And if we hear his voice, the voice of his word, not the voice of tradition, not the voice of what you want to do or somebody else wants to do, but the voice of his word. If you hear that, realize that what he's presenting to you, we're here to have communion, and we'll talk more about what communion is here in just a moment. But he's here and he's knocking. And his desire to come into you, to come into this generation, because this is the evening time message, his desire is knocking, hoping that you will let him in, because if you will let him in, he will have communion with you. He will sup with you. He will have the last meal of the day. This is the last message to come to this earth before this thing is finished for the Gentiles. There is not going to be another day, another message. This is the supper time meal And so we have the greatest opportunity. We have an opportunity now that no other age has had. Period. As I said, closing out this morning, the token message could not come until the evening time.
That's right.
You couldn't even put the right thing on display until now. The thing that make the death angel pass by, the thing that will make him shy away when he comes to try and take you, we now have the ability to show and put on display the thing that will make him be fearful to even approach our doorstep.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about your spiritual house for a body change, that death cannot take you at that moment. And this is now the time that God, if we can hear his voice and hear what he's saying to us, then you'll hear him saying, I'm coming in and I'm supping with you. And in supping with you, I'll have true communion with, which is for him to give us of himself. So we know we have the greatest opportunity now. You know, Satan has counterfeits for everything out there that God has. He can't be a creator, we know that. But if it's tongues, Satan's got an imitation. If it's rejoicing, shouting, Satan's got it.
Sure, yeah.
If it's financial blessing, Satan's got it.
Yeah, right.
So there's only one thing that Satan cannot imitate, and that's the life of God himself.
That's right.
Right? He can't imitate that, and that's where creation comes from. The spoken word comes from it. So he doesn't have access to that. But he has imitations of everything else, and the scripture said that if it were possible, he would deceive the very elected. We know it's not possible to deceive those who have been elected by God. That's a point of contention with a lot of people. But if God has elected you, I'll say what Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Nobody can if God has chosen. And so Satan has all kinds of things that he wants to get you off to, as we were talking this morning, and make you think that, oh, this is the real thing. But it's not. As I said earlier this morning, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, not from Satan. I'm adding to, I didn't say that this morning, but you see what I'm saying. So Satan wants you to think he can provide you with true friends. He'll give you friends, but they're not true friends.
That's right.
He'll give you what you think is love, but it's not true love.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Because every good and perfect gift comes from God. He wants you to think that he can provide you a security, but it's not true security. It costs you. Everything Satan gives you costs you. But everything that the Lord Jesus Christ gives you in true form costs him and is free to you.
Amen.
Yes. That's the difference.
Yes.
Whereas Satan will come in and forcefully force his way into your life and take hold of a weakness, the Lord Jesus is standing there, and all he's saying is, if you will ask me to come in, I'll take control of that weakness, but I won't force myself upon it. You've got to invite me there.
Yeah.
But Satan, he just comes in like a freight train. And so, you know, Satan may want to make you think he's got a healing, but it's not true healing. Whether it be physical or spiritual, whatever, it costs. Believe me, it costs to go to the doctor. It costs to receive any kind of spiritual guidance whatsoever from anything other than God.
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord has all these things. He can provide you true friends, true love, security, healing, you name it. God has all those things in their true form, where there's nothing hidden there. There's no something that's going to jump out and surprise you and you're going to realize, oh, I didn't want this. Everything that the Lord has for you, if there is a surprise, it'll just simply be how much better it is than what you thought it was up front.
Yeah.
It will never go backwards. And God will never take you backwards. You might go backwards, but he's got that place reserved in you where however far you came, he's got it marked right there. And you might fall back, but he'll, by grace, he'll stick you right back up there.
Right.
And he won't hold it over your head.
Yeah.
That's the kind of God we serve. Mm-hmm. And so God has all these true things, and he has true communion for us. And true communion is where he brings the bread of life to you. He brings to you
Amen.
Bread and wine.
Amen.
This thing that we are doing here this afternoon is just a symbology of it. It's just an ordinance that he has provided for us to do speaking of something that takes place in the spiritual realm of our relationship with Him. But He provides, He will provide to us true bread, true wine. The true bread is Him. He said, I am the bread that come from heaven. He's the true bread that come down, and He is in the person, yet He is the bread of life, that if we eat Him, like He said, if you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, unless you do that, you have no life in you. But He provides you that true bread from heaven, which is the living Word,
Amen.
Which is Him.
Amen.
It's Him. The very thing that created the universe, He created your own bodies. He's allowing you to come, and He's bringing to you the ability to have fellowship, to partake of that, and become one with that very Word that created you.
Yes.
Then if the very Word that created your body, you're now able to be partakers of it, then I would think also when you're sick, that same Word that you're partaking can heal you. Amen?
Amen.
Can drive away anything that's contrary to God's program. So He's the true bread that come from heaven, that is the Word of God, and He is the true wine, the spirit form of that Word, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to come into us. And I said earlier, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. That's in His Word and in His Spirit.
That's right.
And that's true. But Jesus will give to you this true bread and true wine, and what it is that He is giving you of Himself. I mentioned the other day, I don't remember what service it was in, but Jesus came in the order of Melchizedek. And if you remember, Melchizedek came and met Abraham as Abraham come back from the battle, where Abraham went and fought for his fallen brother Lot. Abraham had went to fight for someone who should have known better, but fell away. And Abraham went and fought and secured the safety of Lot, and on his way back, Melchizedek met him. Abraham didn't provoke that. Abraham didn't call for it. This was something God wanted to do.
Right.
God wanted to come and institute communion. Long before Moses ever come along, long before any of the law and the prophets and all that other stuff and all those commandments and different things, you know, thou shalt not. And before any of that, God desired to set forth this pattern of communion where He would come and He would bring bread and wine to His victorious child, as Brother Graham placed it. It's good to know a prophet, to receive the reward of a prophet, to be friends with him, because it comes in handy. And so Melchizedek met Abraham, and when Melchizedek came, he brought to Abraham communion, and the scripture said Melchizedek was king of Salem, which bring that forward is Jerusalem. It's the king of the city of peace.
Right.
And of course, there's a natural Jerusalem, but we're that spiritual Jerusalem. So He's the king of this spiritual Jerusalem. He's the king over the bride of Jesus Christ, the city that's set on the hill that can't be hid. He's king of that city. King of peace, that is the city of peace. There shouldn't be, the bride should be the city of peace. And so we fight battles and things like that, but the peace of God should rule in our lives.
Amen.
So he is the king of peace, and the scripture said he was priest of the Most High God. And I think I mentioned it the other day that we realize the scripture said he was without father, without mother, had no beginning of days or ending of life. And as Brother Bram said, whoever it is still alive tonight. Whoever that is still alive right now.
Yep.
And I think he's in this room.
Amen.
But he's alive. And so he's a supernatural being. And this supernatural being, as the scripture said, he was priest of the Most High God. And we know that this had to be Jesus Christ, but before he became Jesus Christ. And here's what Brother Brandon said. He said, we never heard no more about Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. But before Jesus became the flesh man born on this earth, he was born as a child. That was a form that he appeared to Abraham, and he acted out a priesthood order that Jesus was going to come in our day and execute. And that order was not that it was a priesthood that would die, but one that lived forever. And he wasn't going to be ministering to people that was going to pass away and all this kind of stuff. He was ministering an everlasting covenant, a covenant that would last throughout eternity. That's what he was bringing to Abraham, Long before there was ever a law, he was bringing to Abraham that kind of covenant, that kind of communion, to be partakers of that kind of life. And so he was priest of the Most High God. And so God came down in flesh and acted out a priesthood as a go-between between himself and man. Now I ask you, what did Jesus Christ do? It's God came in flesh to be a go-between between himself and humanity. And there it is, right there in the scriptures. So, he was priest in the Most High God, and he was eternal because his covenant was eternal. And so the law that come along couldn't change all that. That was just a schoolmaster until Jesus would come. And now you and I get to sit and be partakers of a Melchizedek priesthood. We have a go-between between us and God that administers that kind of covenant, and the thing that he provides for you and I is that kind of bread and that kind of wine. Not something that the flies we get all over and, you know, that would have to be changed out, or some shoe bread or something like that. And so Brother Ram says that in communion that God gives of himself. And that is true. He gives of himself. So Melchizedek came and was giving to overcomers. And so we realize in our day, a mighty prophet vindicated, demonstrated to you and I that Melchizedek was here today. Because he preached that message. Who is this Melchizedek? Not that one. Who's this one? And demonstrated right on the platform.
That's right.
And so I think I mentioned here a while back, if Melchizedek is here, what's he here to do? Melchizedek is here right now to meet his victorious sons, that he might give to them communion that's an everlasting and eternal covenant. That's what he's here to do right now. And if he gives something to you, that's what it'll be. He won't give you some fake something that's man-made, nothing like that. It'll be the true communion where you are partaking of the life of God himself, both in bread and wine form.
Right.
And nothing can subvert that and take that away. Nothing can undo that. So he's here to give of himself and give to his overcomers. And you say, Brother Tony, overcomers? Because you probably don't feel like an overcomer, but I'm going to say yes, overcomers.
Yeah.
And I'll say it this way. Where are you right now? Where are you right now at this moment? Are you in a bar room somewhere? Are you out here practicing prostitution? Or are you in the house of God giving service to the Lord and to his body?
Right.
Then you're an overcomer. Because you know as well as I do, Satan has thrown many things your way to try and trip you up. And he would not have you here today.
That's right.
But you're here.
That's right.
So you're an overcomer. And so now we've already testified and established the fact that we please the Lord because we have a reverential respect for him and we're looking for his mercy. And now we find out also, right? We find out that we please him in many ways. We find out that we're overcomers. And so he's ready to give to you of himself, to share those things with you. Now this, like I said, is just a symbol of a natural thing, but it's a symbol of a natural thing that types a spiritual relationship that you have with the Lord. And you say, well, I don't know if I have it or not, but I'm going to put you in the same category that, and Lord, forgive me if it's wrong to do this, but I don't think it is, that you may have that relationship, and maybe you don't know whether you have it or you'd like to have it, but if in the sincerity of your heart you desire to have it and don't know that you have it, I'll put you in the same category. You can have access to it today because of the desire of your heart. But you can't be a hypocrite about it. You got to be serious. Be honest with yourself and say, you know, I missed the mark, but I want to be. I want to serve God. I want to stop this foolishness. I want to stop being puppeted around by Satan like the rest of the world, chasing after everything that they have. And I want to be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have access to this relationship that I'm talking about, but you can only do it by faith. Because you have plenty of things present in you that tells you, oh, no, you can't make it, you're no good, that's the mindset. But we're to cast down all those minds and all those thoughts that magnify themselves in against Christ. So for us to sit in heavenly places, we have to believe it. We just have to say, you know what, forget about me. He said I can be here. I'm a partaker. I'm going to take in this communion today. I'm going to receive it. Yes. Because my heart is for it. I want it.
Yes.
I want this more than anything else. And if that's what you want, then you have it, see? And he knows. And so, but you can only do it by faith. Because all that other stuff is there trying to tell you, you know yourself, you have failures. But just believe that he's made a way for you. Like the sister, Brother Branham, we talk about it from time to time. It's been a little while. Sister Bruce. Yeah. When Brother Branham was interviewed her in the office there just before he came out and preached the masterpiece. I'm going to read to you a little bit of his interview with her. Let's see if this doesn't apply to us in a great way. Apply to you. And she says to Brother Branham, she said, most of all, I want the experience that I've been sealed in the Holy Ghost. Because it is a seal, right? It's not something you get and you lose. God don't run his program that way.
Right.
The real seal of the Holy Ghost is something that changes you forever. She said, most of all, I want the experience that I've been sealed in the Holy Ghost. And if God will reveal it to your heart. There's a problem there. Even if God revealed it to Brother Branham's heart, it's got to be revealed to her heart.
Yeah.
It's got to be revealed to you. So even if a prophet could sit there and say, sister, you got the Holy Ghost, it has to be revealed to that sister. And that's the only way you can get there, is by revelation.
Right, that's right.
And he's got it for you, though. And that revelation comes from a relationship with him, not anybody else. From the creator of all things, who's willing to come down and spend time with you.
Yes.
Yeah, he's interested in you.
Yes.
He's interested in what's in your heart and what you desire. He's interested in helping you. And so Brother Graham says, I'm fixing to pray for you. And he said, I'm not worthy of that. I think that what would Jesus do? What would I do if Jesus Christ was sitting here? Well, what would he do if he was here sitting here? He'd lay his hands upon you and in his great faith, you'd get well. Well, now I think, well, I'm a sinner. I'm not him. This is Brother Ram talking. I'm a sinner. I'm not him. But I come to represent him. And must remember, me being a sinner and before God, I'm not a sinner. And neither are you. We've got a blood sacrifice there. God don't even see us. He hears our voice, and he sees the blood of Christ. That's it. See? He sees the blood of his own son. It's our voice, Christ's blood, and it's Christ that's speaking through us to God. It's Christ that's speaking through us to God. So when God looks down, now this is the prophet of the age, and he's saying, God don't even see you. He just hears your voice. He sees the blood, but to him what he sees is Jesus Christ speaking back to him.
Amen.
And you're not a sinner before God because of that blood. Amen. Brother Graham said, I'm a sinner, he said, but not before God.
Amen.
Right? Amen. You're not a sinner to come stand up here if in your heart you want to serve God.
That's right.
Completely.
That's right.
You're not a sinner to come and stand here and take communion. Sister Bruce says, well, I make so many mistakes and I fail so many times. Brother Ram said, that's why Christ died, so that you with your mistakes, it wouldn't be allotted to you. See, he took your mistakes. Your desire in your heart is to serve him. And she said, yes. All right. That's what he died for, so that you could serve him. See? Not your mistakes are not looked at, not lauded to you. See, he is your propitiation. See, he is your sin offering. your sins are not known. You're not a sinner before God. Christ took your sins and became you because you desire to serve him. Pretty plain. Sister Bruce says, but I never had an experience that I have been filled with the Holy Ghost that I could put my foot on. She's looking for a sensation. She's looking for something. This is the curse of Pentecost. Trying to make you think you've got to do something when the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the mystery of the age, is a baptism without sensation. Because if it has to come with some sensation, Satan's got a copy.
Yeah.
See? But it comes in a way that Satan can't copy. It's the living word. That's what it is. Whether there's a shout or no shout, it's the living word. That's it. He can't imitate that. He can't take that away. And she said, I don't have anything I can put my foot on. He said, all right, notice this. Ordinarily, a human being is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come in the world speaking lies. And that's the nature of a human being. Sister Bruce says, yes. And that was your nature. And it changed once, but what changed it? And she said, Christ. He said, there you are, sister. See, that's it. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come to judgment, but hath, past tense, passed from death to life. That's St. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus speaking, see. So you're a Christian, Sister Bruce. I've watched your life, I've watched you under vision, and I know you're a Christian, see? Not one speck of, see, I am your shepherd as it was, she says, yes. Somebody's got to be your shepherd, right? See? And if there was any doubt in my mind, if I thought you something was wrong, I'd tell you. And she says, I believe that. Because she had confidence in Brother Brandon. It's important to have confidence for the ministry. You have confidence in ministry, and ministry to live so that you can have confidence.
Right.
She said, I believe that. He said, but if there's anything wrong in your experience, anything wrong between you and God, as far as I know anything about it, Sister Bruce, there's not one, and we're going to pray. And Sister Bruce says, of course, I'm going to die unless God undertakes for my heart. He said, you're not going to die. I don't think, Sister Bruce, if it is, it's hidden from me. So he comes out to preach, and he says, on the interview just a few moments ago, I was speaking to a person in the room that's present now, and who said, Brother Branham, I have so many things that I know that's wrong. We just read it. And Brother Branham, in parentheses, says, and a godly woman. A godly woman that's looking at her mistakes and looking at her failures, because she does have mistakes and does have familiars, but her prophet said there's nothing wrong in your life. Mm-hmm. Just because you have mistakes, just because you have failures, you miss this mark, there's nothing wrong with your life. And he'll explain why, because he said it's because it's your desire. Said, and a godly woman. And I said, but look, sister, you don't look at yourself. It's just what your desire is and what you try to do. And if you really love the Lord, you try to serve him with all your heart. And then all your mistakes are hid in the blood of the Lord Jesus. See, he made a way. And that's how simple it is. All it is just a check in your heart. Do you want to serve him? Do you desire to be free from these failures? Do you desire to do better? If that's what you want, and you can by faith approach and say, I'm trusting in you, Lord, that my life will be better going forward, because that's what I want, and I'm asking you to make that happen in my life. I'm surrendering to you, then you're a candidate.
Amen.
But if you can't say that from an honest heart, don't come up here. That's right. And I'm not in the business to say come or don't come. That's something you got to know.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
But I have a responsibility to try to make it as clear as I can to try and help you find that place that's correct where God will bless you.
Yes.
And the only thing I know, brother and sister, the only thing I know to do is to take right from this word and right from this message and do my best to lay it out there to make it to where you can see that and follow after that truth. And so, if you know you're not sincere in heart, well, that's something you need to work on. But it's here for you now. And it's ready for you now. Amen. If she'll pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll read these scriptures here, and then we'll have Brother Tim and Brother Daniel come up after that. And while we do, as Brother Tim is breaking the bread and Brother Daniel's blessing the wine, you lay your heart before God. Be sincere, be honest. Don't lie to yourself, because you're lying. You lie to yourself, you're lying to Him. And He'll help you if you really want Him. Amen. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" His body had to be broken for us. "And after the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this," this is the scripture that everybody runs from, but I just explained to you what you need to know.
Right.
It's not contrary to this.
Right.
"Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And I ask you, what is the Lord's body? There's many members of it in this room today.
Yeah.
You are the Lord's body. And what you do in your life does affect the rest of us.
Yeah.
It does. You say, "Brother Tony, that's fearful." It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be fearful. Because I love every one of you, and I believe you love me. I believe if something happened to me today, that you would be sad, and I would be sad the other way, because we're a body.
Yes.
And we belong together.
Amen.
God has put us here on this earth together, here now, and we belong together, and we'll be together there.
Amen.
And if something happens, and one of us or all of us, we don't get to see each other ever again, you lodge that in your heart. We'll be there on that other side together.
Amen.
Because He's made it that way.
Amen.
Amen. And what a pleasure.
Yes.
What a pleasure to know that I get to spend eternity with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you with me.
Right.
I hope you feel that way. You know,
right.
I am what I am.
Yeah.
And you are what you are. And we thank the Lord for what He's done for each one of us. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." You think about that. If we would judge ourselves with this word and let it take place in our lives, we don't have to go to the white throne judgment.
That's right.
Because we're already passed from death into life.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear that word and believe it, accept it into your heart. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So this is where he's talking about. Let the word judge your life and correct you. Let the Lord chasten you, as we talked about the other day. And if you'll let that happen in your life, then, well, you won't be condemned with the world. "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that they may not come together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Amen. That is our pathway to communion this afternoon. So we'll ask Brother Tim and Brother Daniel to come up, and I have instructed Sister Vicki to end the streaming at this time, because this is a sacred thing, this is a personal thing, and those that are streaming, you know, they can enter into that at home or whatever, but amen. So as these brothers pray over and break this bread and you bless the wine, search your heart, lay it over for the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we come to you today, Lord, humble before you, Lord Jesus, knowing that what you went through for us, Lord Jesus, and what this represents, Lord Jesus. Pray, Lord Jesus, you would sanctify and bless this bread, Lord. Let it be used for your glory, Lord Jesus. Let us understand what we're doing today here, Lord Jesus. Let us come before you with humility, Lord Jesus, but yet knowing we are obeying your word, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, it is so good to know the truth, Lord. Lord, we appreciate what you've done for us, Lord Jesus. We can never imagine what you went through for us, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that you would help us understand, Lord Jesus. Give us revelation of who we are, Lord Jesus, and what we are, Lord, to you, Lord. Because you have proved to us that you love us, Lord Jesus. You gave the greatest sacrifice of all, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would be with us for the rest of this service, Lord. Sanctify this bread, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we come to the wine, we ask you to sanctify it, Lord. Lord, sanctify our hearts afresh, Lord, during this service, Lord. Father, may we be gilded vessels, Lord, that we could receive your Spirit, Lord, as we receive your word, Lord. As our pastors preach, Lord, Spirit and truth, Lord. Help us to live this life in spirit and in truth, Father. I ask you, Lord, you search our hearts this morning, Lord, and we be yielded vessels and be filled by you in your Spirit, in your grace, in your mercy, Lord. Help us as we come to you to commune with you, Lord. Lord, anoint this wine, Lord, as it goes into our bodies, Lord, as a symbol, Lord Jesus, of what we are receiving your word. We are receiving your Spirit into our lives. In Jesus' name.
So we'll let everybody come up in the fashion that you desire. If you desire to be with your family, that's fine. We can all get together and then come through the line together. That's usually what happens, but you can do it however you want. And so we'll start on this side over here first. Three ordinances that God left for us to do: water baptism, communion, and washing of feet. And they go together, communion and foot washing. Of course, you know what that is, to represent our service to one another. That we'd be willing to wash one another's feet. You know, people walk out through the world and they get all, back then, they get all the world on. And so it's a way of showing our humility and willingness to get down to whatever level it is that you need to help you in your hour, whatever your trouble is and whatever your battle is. And so that's what this is a symbol of, to express ourselves to one another in that way, to show that we're willing to humble ourselves. There's no big eyes, no little U's. It's just a wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference. So we'll let the sisters go ahead and go to the back, and if Brother Benjamin wants to turn some music on, we can kind of play. When we get far enough that the musicians can come up, then we can do that too.
Thank you.
100% of those who took communion, except for the little ones. But I want you to know that I believe in you.
Amen.
I believe you fight battles.
Yes.
But I believe that you want to serve the Lord,
Amen.
That you want to be right. And so all I can do is pray and ask God's blessings on your life.
Yes.
I just want to tell you that we're here for you. Brother Daniel's here for you. We're here to, you know, we're just here for you.
Amen.
Not anything glamorous, but we're here for the long haul.
Amen.
And that's what matters.
Yes.
I don't care about looking glorious, but I want to be sturdy.
Amen.
I want to be there, be the same. I want to be like my father. And maybe one of these days I'll get pretty close to that, maybe when I'm brought into his presence. But right here on this earth, I want to be like him. And there's no variableness in him.
Yeah.
I want to be there. I want to be constant. I want to be there for you. I want you to be there for each other. Amen. So we're going to worship some for a little while, sing songs, just see how the Spirit leads or whatever. And then if you got to go, you can go. If you want to stay, you can stay. I want to ask you, do you love the Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Do you appreciate what he's done for you today?
Amen.
Amen. It's a new day for us.
Amen.
A golden opportunity. So may the Lord bless you as we get another song together, or maybe sing happen some more, whatever they want to do. That's the job of the musicians. So I don't try to take their jobs. Because I'm a failure. But I'm good at handing it to them. So may the Lord bless you. And Lord willing, we'll see you next time.
In prisoner's chains. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.